Amén, amén. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for your presence with us tonight. Thank you for drawing us so close to you. Thank you for what you're doing. We completely yield to you as we open our hearts and just allow you to have your way tonight. However way you want to share, whatever way you want to speak to us, we just are open to you. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know. I just want to leave this open tonight. I know this is not planned. I didn't discuss it with Sister Billy. But, you know, when we have the opportunity, God draws us away from the business and from the crowd and draws us to a place of a retreat. We call it a mountain place where we just have some fresh, you know, just a fresh encounter with the Lord, and just a time of waiting on the Lord is so fresh. It's at that time you look for an opportunity to hear what the Lord is saying through the person that has been there. Our mommy Sister Billy, has been away for some days now, just waiting on the Lord. And just waiting on the Lord is not easy to break the cycle of just so much business and to wait. So she's been gone and she just got back today. And Sister Billy, your heart is so full, and you just came, you know, from just a totally different atmosphere with the Lord. While things are still fresh in your heart, we would like to hear whatever you like to say to us tonight. You know, do you want to do that, or we'll give you another time? We'd like to hear from you. If you want to share anything God has put on your heart, I think everybody will be very blessed. Is it a good time?
the Israelites. You know, and really, really opened my eyes to the catastrophe behind disobedience. And then I realized that most of the problems we have as a group, as individuals, is as a result of disobedience. You know, God created us in His image, after His likeness. You know, what a privilege. What a wonderful God to make us to be like Him. He didn't create us, He didn't make goats to be in His likeness, or all these other animals and creatures, but He decided by Himself to create us human beings to be like Him. I don't know whether sometimes we sit down to ask ourselves why. It's simply for us to be able to interact with Him. He wants people to interact with. To interact with Him, act like Him. He puts His nature in us. You know, when He breathed into us, into man that He created, He transferred His nature into us so that we'll be like Him, we'll be able to commune and communicate and discuss and share with Him. You know, He placed us here on earth to rule, and He is in heaven to rule. But He comes down for us to interact with each other. And everything was fine for as long as we were, you know, like Him. And that being God, He is in charge, and He gave us a command. He gave us instruction. You know, don't do this particular thing. And He is so kind. He is so merciful. He doesn't hide anything from us. He doesn't just come and, you know, take us unawares. God always gives people instructions. God always tells people, do this or don't do that. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do that, that will happen. So he told man, eat of every tree of the garden, except this one. The day you eat it, you will die. He made it clear and clean. When He created Adam and placed him in the garden, everything was available to him. He didn't mean to struggle or to suffer like we are killing ourselves now. Struggling and chasing this, chasing that, sweating in and out. That was not God's plan for us. Until we did what? We disobeyed. Everything was available to man. You know? And so, sufferings came into the world because of disobedience. And then He started opening my eyes to the way He led the Israelites and showed me their stubbornness, their stiff-neckedness. And God was crying out. Can you imagine God asking, what have I done to man? What have I done to man? Can you imagine God lamenting like that? Everything He did was for the good of man. He started from Moses. He said, can you imagine how long it took to persuade Moses? Everybody should go and read the journey of the Israelites from the land of Egypt, and as God did and he's so close to us, he never left any question unanswered. Anything that they asked, he answered promptly. He was always there, directing, guiding. Mm. He never left them. He never broke any of his covenant. Everything he promised, he did. So human being, can you imagine? He said, look at. Look at. How mighty God, he brought them out of. You can imagine. I was just seeing the miracle of the Red Sea. How he brought them out of it. How their enemies drowned. And directly after that, they came on the other side. God spoke to them. For as long as you're talking with me in obedience, for as long as you're obeying me, and you are not tempting and, dealing with other gods or going after other gods and sit like that, after all that, Moses went up. Received the rest of the commandment, and they were down there, a calf and worshiping a calf. Whoa. Right on that, within a short time, and so on and so forth. And he is telling me that it is still like that today, even amongst his people. Because God will give us instruction. Do this thing. Don't do that. If you go through the scriptures, you will see everything that God abhors. He was asking me, why are there so much troubles in the world today?
Yes.
The root cause of it is disobedience to his word. Because everything that God abhors are the things that we like to do. So, when we are walking in disobedience, what do we expect? Many troubles that we have are as a result of disobedience. If you sit down and check it, and look back and take stock, we will see that it's as a result of disobedience. There is nothing that God cannot do for us for as long as we are walking in his path. If we want success, we need to obey God. If we want good health, we need to obey God. If we want progress, we need to obey God. If we want peace, we need to obey God. And the fearful thing about it is that God does not respect anybody.
Yes.
He is no respecter of persons. If you close your eyes and dishonor him, he will close his eyes and deal with you.
Yes.
You know, this one is not a matter of grace or no grace. His grace is not for us to disobey him. In fact, grace will make you obey God. You understand it? God has not changed. Sometimes you read some of these things in the Old Testament, and people will say, oh, it's Old Testament. It's not Old Testament. The ones that are Old Testament stuff, Jesus Christ changed them. But consider those ones that Jesus Christ did not tamper with. There were things that Jesus Christ changed for us. You know? That somebody can come and take 110 wives. Yes, Old Testament, yes. It's not for today. Not for now. And all those things that they did in the past, which they did not even get free from. So, We cannot wait on the Lord. We cannot even wait for him. He will promise us something. He will tell us something. But we will not have the patience for his timing. And so our emotions drive us into action. God does not want us to die. He wants us to live. He wants us to live out our years, the number of our years. Many people die. Many people lose their lives because of disobedience and impatience. Things befall us because of disobedience and impatience. I could be saying, oh, we are Christians. We are born again. But being born again does not do it. If you're born again, that is the more reason you should be obedient to God. Our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not joke or play about the obedience to him. That is one thing that you cannot tamper with. I'm making other things your God. Well, maybe the Israelites might be molding calves and molding and building other images and call it God. We may not be doing that, but there are things in our life that take the place of God. We need to check those out ourselves. We need to check those things out ourselves. So it's not just images. Not just images. But one thing I want to establish is that this our God, he is very faithful. He never fails. He never hurts anybody. He doesn't even want. And in his mercifulness, it amazes me the rate at which he forgives. As soon as they cry in repentance. But repentance is not just to fulfill all righteousness. It's the repentance that comes from the heart, and God knows it. God knows when it comes from the heart. God knows when you obey him from your heart. Not just to fulfill all righteousness. Not to obey God because people are around watching me. No. There is absolutely nothing we do in secret that he does not know. He sees. He knows our motives. He knows our intentions. He knows why we do whatever we do. We cannot fool him. But the message I have for everybody from now is, please obey God. Sit down. Study the word. Know those things that God abhors and keep away from them. And do those ones that he has instructed us to do. No matter how difficult we may think it is. Because sometimes we feel that certain things are undoable. He cannot tell us to do something that is undoable. We need to, through the scriptures, to find out those things. And we need to realize that we cannot deceive him. So, this is all I want to say now. It's really, really mind-boggling. It's very heavy on my heart. And I wish that people will understand it, that people will see it, will realize the danger in disobedience at any level. At any level, God is not looking, considering your age. He's not considering your status. Not considering anything. All that he is considering is, what are you doing with what I have asked you to do? The instructions that I have given. And all those instructions are in the Bible. For those of us who may say, oh, I didn't didn't hear God say this. I didn't hear. Read the Bible, you will see. Do those ones that are in the scriptures. Do those ones. He wants his honor to be. You can't toy. Can't toy with God or anything that is God's. You will be slain. Thank God for.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I think while we're waiting, I think our phone just got cut off. So, amen. Father, we thank you for the grace to walk in obedience, for the grace to live in obedience, for truly there are rewards obedience. So by the obedience of one man, Father, you restored life to all of us. And by the disobedience of one man, we see today the destruction that that brought. So we thank you for this word that we're receiving. Thank you for this awakening, this reminder of your word to us, that faith without obedience is vain. So we thank you so much tonight. We thank you so much tonight. Thank you for your hand that has been on your daughter. Thank you for the time she's been away with you. Thank you for how you revealed yourself to her. Thank you for your grace you poured upon her life. Thank you for the way you have given her new lenses, oh God, towards this vision and mandate you placed upon her life. Thank you, Father, your daughter that has been so yielded and surrendered to you. Again, we are grateful for what you're doing on this altar, what you're doing through SLPN and Willing Women and everyone that is gathered on this altar today. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Sister Bill, are you back? Okay, all right, you can continue.
It's okay. Let's stop here for now. I don't know why it's like it's cutting up. It's okay, Pastor, continue.
Amen. 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 We welcome you back and we look forward to hear more from you because we know that, you know, what God has given to you is for all of us. So thank you so much. You know, with the word we've received tonight, with the edification, the encouragement, and the awakening that we just received on the area of obedience, I just want to read a few scriptures tonight before we pray. In the book of James, chapter 2, I'll read here from verse 17. It says, even so faith, if it has not works. Anywhere you see works there, really what it means is obedience. Faith without obedience or without works is dead. Even so faith, if it has not works, obedience is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have obedience or works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my obedience or my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works or obedience is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, justified by obedience, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works or obedience, and by obedience or works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works or obedience is a man justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works or obedience when she had received the messengers and has sent them out another way? Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without obedience or works is dead also. So just flowing with the word that we're receiving tonight, or we just received tonight, it's obvious here that the foundation of walking with God, the foundation of pleasing God, the foundation of really walking in relationship with God is all based on obedience. The whole human race, the whole fall of man, like we had tonight, was all based on disobedience. And then the whole, the restoration of power, authority, and everything that God has placed on his son Jesus for us came as a result of obedience. Adam was disobedient, and the second Adam, Christ, came again to restore through obedience. So here he's talking about the life of Abraham. You know, here it says the faith without works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can be hearing and hearing and hearing and be loaded with revelations. But what the Lord has been showing me lately is such a confirmation of what God is giving to Mama Bele for us, is that no matter the knowledge we have, no matter how much revelation that we have, if we don't put action, if we don't put obedience to what we're hearing, we will not be able to see the demonstration of the Spirit of God in that area. So this is the season that God is calling us to transition from what we know to the place of obedience. For example, here it says, Abraham was called a friend of God out because of his lifestyle of obeying God. Then it says here, it says, so faith without obedience, or faith without works, is dead, even as the body without the spirit is dead. So recently God has been dealing with me a lot. He's been dealing with me a lot about this obedience, this place of waiting on God, hearing, and then obey. And then sometimes I'll say, but you have not spoken to me. What do I do about this situation? Then God, the Lord will remind me, the word of God, you know, the scriptures we read, the Bible, is the most clear voice of God, the most clear word of God. You know, so when God gives understanding through scriptures in any particular situation, the next thing for us to do is to obey him in that area and see results. So I believe God is calling us in these last days to the place of, we have had so much revelation, we had had so much teaching, but God is now calling us to put action to the things that he's been teaching us. For example, in the book of Exodus, here, Exodus chapter 14, when God spoke to Moses to move towards the Red Sea, as the enemy was coming and the Red Sea was blocking them, the people were crying, God is already giving me direction. Look at here, Moses spoke to the people just like we all. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord And it says, fear you not, and stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more. And Moses was saying this thing to them. But then the next verse, Moses went back to prayer and started crying out to God. So you know that because God spoke to him. He says in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they move forward. In other words, God is saying, this is not, you prayed, I've spoken to you. This is not a time for you to be praying. Just take steps of obedience. Stretch out your rod. Tell the people to move forward. Move forward where? Red Sea, block. But they moved forward and God worked. Obedience, as they stepped, they put action. They put steps to their faith. God started moving. And I look at the situation with Esther. They prayed and prayed and prayed. All of them agreed, prayed. After the prayer, Esther stepped up by faith. You know, stepped up by faith and moved in the direction of going to request something of the king. And God moved right ahead of her, and God opened that door of favor. You know, look at the first miracle that Jesus did. The first miracle. Before this time, not one miracle had been heard about him. He just came out of the wilderness and he was invited after, you know, some time to Cana of Galilee. When he got there, the mother, you know, there was no wine. The mother of Jesus came to them. He says, here is the situation. And, you know, and then he told the people, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Just do it. So Jesus told them, bring 6 pots of water here. They brought 6 pots of water. It's water. Then he told them, take out of this water, take out of it, and go give to the governor of the feast. So these people, when you put that cup inside that jug of water, and they brought that water, they knew it was water. But now he's saying, take it. That and go give to the guest of honor there to drink, and they took it to the governor there to drink, and he drank it and said, "This was the best. Why did they save the best wine for last?" So it took a lot of faith, not just what you hear, but it took somebody taking that thing they knew was water, and by faith took it, expecting it to be wine. So even now, the Lord has been dealing with me, and I realized, oh my God, why have I waited this long to do this? But, you know, God brings us through various seasons. Twice now, ever since we came back from Washington, D.C., where the Lord was speaking to us, it's time to reign again. You know, I left that place. God says, don't leave this place with knowledge. And spoke very clearly to me. It's now time for you to start acting upon certain things. And ever since we came back, there's a few things that God led me to do. Few things. And each of them I stepped out, and it's amazing what God has done through that. You know, and just not recently, we went on our anniversary, and the Lord told me to do something. I took that thing just by faith, you know, to our anniversary. On getting there, you know, God did an amazing miracle that I will never forget the rest of my life. And that was simply because I obeyed God and said what God told me to do, you know. And just recently, you know, the Lord told me to do something again about a project. I stepped out and God just did an amazing, amazing, amazing miracle. Just because, so I think God is calling us with this reminder tonight, you know, to begin to take steps of faith. We have so much knowledge. We have so much revelation. But God is saying, begin to put action. Begin to put action. Now, what's the difference between taking a risk and between obeying God fully by faith? Risk is something you do when you're not sure of what you're doing. Risks are ventures, decisions, actions you take when you are not sure of what you're doing. But the difference between faith is hearing the word of God or the revelation of the word of God based on something that has been finished, something that has already been done. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, it's finished, it's done. So when God gives us a revelation based on anything that is based on the finished work of God, it's not something you did, it's not something I did. It says, all things are possible to them that word believe. That word believe is based on the revelation of what Jesus has done. You receive this word, you receive the understanding, and then that's faith. It comes by hearing. Then when you step out and obey, that's a sign that you believe. So believing God without obedience is not possible. Obedience is what makes faith a belief. That's why Jesus, when he commissioned the disciples, says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, them that put action to what they hear. So I believe the Lord is calling us. You're not taking a risk when you obey God, because whatever God says is a finished work. It's a done, it's finished. For example, when you are praying against powers of darkness, when you're fighting any kind of spiritual warfare, you're not fighting a battle to win. It's just like even Bishop Johnson mentioned in his message, the devil has already been defeated. He's been defeated. Jesus has taken that key of authority from him. He's been defeated. That's why the work has been finished. But you're standing on the blood, you're standing on the covenant, you're standing on the promise of God, you're standing on the finished what Jesus has done, and you are standing on that by faith, and that's where, from that platform, that's where you're making your declarations, that's where you're praying from, that's where you're speaking from. So, this is a season we're entering into. You know, Jesus, for example, is already paid the full price for our healing, for our finances. He says he became rich. He became poor that we will become rich. He defeated poverty. He became weak that we will be strong. He that knew no sin became sin that would be righteous. So he died and rose again because he's defeated death. So as God gives us revelation based on these various areas of his finished work, every place we take steps of obedience, that's when we have experiences. We activate miracles when we obey God. And obedience is something you have to do by faith. You don't have to see it to step out. Sometimes you have to step out to see it, like the example of the water turned to wine and Esther, and many people in the Bible. Abraham, we just read about, you know, just obeyed and became a friend of God. So this season that we are in, let us just begin to practice obedience even from smaller levels, and then as we see manifestations, we see breakthroughs, we'll be encouraged to step out in bigger things. And we begin to, that will so much encourage our faith, and we start enjoying. You know, recently there was something I was praying for, and I was praying for it like, God, do this for me, God, do that for me. Later God said, you know, I was corrected. He says, are you asking me to do something for you that I've already done? You believe I've done it, and then you will receive it. You know, so God is changing my prayer to, you know, certain things I'll be saying, God, do this. God, why you haven't done? It's like God is correct. He said, no, I've done it already. You just have not believed it. So let's begin to operate in what we had tonight and begin to pray more for understanding in the area of obedience. And then God will just start moving and we'll start seeing miracles. Before we finish, you remember the scripture that says, greater is he that is in you, in us, than he that is in the world. We quote that scripture, we pray it a lot. I do the same thing. But recently, God has been asking me, dealing with me, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Or are you just quoting scriptures? Basically, he's asking me, do you believe it in terms of when you say, greater is he that is in you? You're talking about the Spirit of God. You're talking about the Spirit of God that is in you. You're talking about the nature of God. And you say, than he that is in the world. So, it's not, God is bringing us to a place where me, he's challenging me, when you say something, when you repeat some scriptures, pay attention to what you're saying and see if you believe it. Because believe means, are you putting action to it? Or are you just repeating the same thing? So, fear will begin to break the power of fear. And I believe God will take us from glory to glory. God has really, really changed a lot since we came from the last prayer training. And I've been taking new steps of faith, new levels of obedience. And God is increasing my faith and the ability for me to believe him for more. So I want to encourage you tonight that this word that we received from Mama Billy, going away for a whole week and coming back, is truly a word from the Lord. Such a confirmation what God is looking for in this new season. Amen. So we can have fresh testimonies and everybody will start rejoicing. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Bele. We appreciate you. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. We give God glory. Father, we thank you so much for what we have heard. Thank you for your servants, your sons and daughters that are so passionately giving themselves over to you. Thank you that you're bringing us into this season where you want to see fruit in our lives. And you're calling us to take even greater steps of obedience as you direct us, as you lead us, as you guide us. So, Father, we are totally surrendered to you. Again, bless your people that have been on this line, that always on this line, and those that couldn't make it tonight. Father, let those things you've revealed to your daughter, Father, let them bring forth fruit. Seal it in her heart. Give her the grace to walk in everything you've given to her and everyone on this line. Receive all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.